Welcome back to the Real Life Pharmacology Podcast. Today I'm going to cover short-acting beta agonists. Short-acting beta agonists are incredibly powerful, life-saving medication that can really help open up the airways in patients who have a hard time breathing. And most often the situations that I see these medications prescribed in, asthma, of course, that's kind of a reactive airway disease where the airway kind of swells up and you create a blockage, a reduced airflow capacity through the bronchioles and lungs and out through the mouth, obviously, and mouth and nose. And the short-acting beta agonists work to stimulate beta 2 receptors in that airway, and this leads to kind of relaxation and opening of that smooth muscle. So again, perfect for the use of asthma in an acute situation where we need to have a rescue inhaler. COPD is another classic example where we see these medications used in that short-term setting to open up that airway. You will see it occasionally used for people that have coughing spells, maybe pneumonia, just kind of on a short-term basis as well. Now, the classic examples of short-acting beta agonists are albuterol, Proventil, Proair, Ventolin. Probably Proair and Ventolin are the brand names I see used most often. There's also levoalbuterol, which is brand name Xopenex. One of the most important education points for patients is recognizing the differences between their inhalers. Often patients with COPD, with asthma, they'll have, you know, two or three, potentially up to three or maybe even four different inhalers, kind of depending upon their medication regimen and how severe their disease state is. And the education, the teaching of what each of those inhalers does is super, super important. I've seen so many mistakes in my practice as a clinical pharmacist where patients don't really understand, you know, why they're on a medication, why they're taking it, and when to use it. So definitely that's a very, very important piece of education and really the first step in educating our patients. Now, the next step with these devices is to ensure that patients are actually using it appropriately. Okay, so making sure that they're actually actuating the device, inhaling the contents into their lungs, making sure that they're not breathing that those contents back out again so the drug can actually have an effect within the lungs, making sure that they're not using it as hairspray and kind of just blowing it around their face and not actually getting the drug to the lungs there. So there's lots of different mistakes with these inhalers, and you have to remember to teach patients how to use these appropriately. And in certain situations, you may need spacers and you may do different things like that. One other nice thing about both of these products, albuterol and levoalbuterol, of the short-acting beta agonists, is that they do come in a nebulized form. So pediatrics is a great example where using that nebulizer with that mask can help be sure that we get that drug actually to the patient. Elderly patients are another classic example where maybe cognitively, maybe physically, they really struggle with coordinating that movement, manipulating that actuator to get their dose from a meter dose inhaler. So important to remember that if you've got a patient that's really a non-responder or they just don't seem to get a lot of benefit from their short-acting beta agonist, you might want to give a nebulizer a try. That may help determine whether they're doing it appropriately or whether they can do it appropriately if education isn't effective. So as far as the drugs go and potential interactions, adverse effects, it's important to remember that mechanism of action. So whenever I think of beta agonists, I think of the potential to amp patients up. So it can stimulate heart rate, it can cause some tremor, it can cause some anxiety, potentially insomnia. Again, these side effects are pretty rare with the inhaled beta agonist because we don't get a lot of systemic absorption through the lungs. Now, obviously, the more often you use these inhalers, or if you're using them with long-acting beta agonists or other drugs that have similar effects, we could potentially pile on and contribute to some adverse effects that way. One great way that I kind of remember the pharmacology of beta agonists versus beta blockers is just kind of lumping them together and recognizing that opposite things are going to happen. So the beta agonists, like we're talking about today, albuterol, Xopenex, they can amp you up, like I mentioned. The beta blockers tend to settle you down. You know, rarely I've seen them used to help with anxiety. More commonly in practice, they're going to be used to lower heart rate and like atrial fibrillation and really kind of settle things down as far as blood pressure goes as well there. So it's a, kind of a yin-yang, a good way to remember the beta blockers versus the beta agonists. Now, I also wanted to differentiate the receptor. So we got to remember beta 2, two lungs, and beta 1 is one heart. So beta 1 blockers typically are just going to act to slow down the heart. Beta 2 agonists, which we're talking about today, are going to relax that smooth muscle and help patients breathe better. So hopefully that gives you a little more background on the pharmacology and trying to remember these agents and their mechanisms and what they do. Let's take a quick break here from our sponsor, and when we get back, I want to chat a little bit about guidelines and just some general principles as far as recognizing patients that may be a little bit out of control as far as their respiratory disease goes. MedEd101.com has a growing list of resources for pharmacy students, pharmacists, and other healthcare professionals. If you're looking for NAPLEX, BCPS, BCACP, BCGP, all these different type of certification exams for pharmacists, go check out MedEd101.com/store to see everything they have there. Good source for solid information to really help you prepare and pass your certification exam. Let's talk a little bit about uncontrolled asthma and the rule of two. So this is a very important principle to remember if you're assessing patients and really checking to see how in control their asthma is. So what is the rule of two? So there's a few twos to remember in assessing short-acting beta agonist use as well as an asthma disease state. So first, number two, use of rescue inhaler more than 2 times per week. So if you've got a patient that's using their albuterol inhaler more than 2 times per week, we're probably going to want to do some further assessment and make sure their asthma is under decent control. The next two to remember is nighttime symptoms. So if patients have nighttime symptoms of asthma where it's waking them up with difficulty breathing and asthma exacerbation, and that's happening more than 2 times per month, that may be a good indicator that asthma is out of control. Another indicator relating back to short-acting beta agonists is using 2 or more albuterol canisters per year. Another good example there of a way to kind of assess how a patient is doing. And sometimes patients aren't real upfront about how often they use their albuterol. So a great way to maybe assess this is to identify where they get their prescription medications filled and actually see how many of these albuterol canisters or albuterol devices that they're actually getting filled. I do want to remind you that albuterol is often found in combination medications. So a good example here is Combivent Respimat, Duoneb. Both of these medications have albuterol in it, as well as ipratropium, a short-acting anticholinergic. So this is really important to teach patients that albuterol is found in these agents and that they should not be doubling up on these medications. I've definitely seen patients report with tremor, tachycardia, because they're using so much albuterol because they didn't realize that albuterol was in two different medications. So they were taking them really close to one each other on a very frequent basis in patients that have not been very well controlled. So definitely got to remind patients about that and or assess and ask if they actually have some of those medications at their home as well. One other pearl on use of albuterol and the short-acting beta agonist is we generally administer these medications first. Now, if we think about their pharmacokinetics, they've got a quick onset. They can open up that airway very quickly. And in patients who are, let's say, taking a combination long-acting beta agonist and inhaled corticosteroid, so in that situation, we definitely would want to use that albuterol first to kind of open up that airway and then give it a little bit of time, a few minutes, 5 to 10 minutes, maybe wait if possible. And then we'd want to do that controller type medication. Again, this is if they're being given at the same time. It allows that airway to kind of open up so that controller, the long-acting beta agonist and corticosteroid, can get deep down into the lungs and exert its activity better versus an airway that's kind of closed up. You may not get a good deposit of that medication. So in patients that are taking both types of medications on a scheduled basis, which is rare, but they're taking them close to one another, usually it's preferred to do the short-acting beta agonist prior to the longer-acting or the controller-type medication. I think that'll wrap up the podcast for today. Thank you so much for listening. If you love the show, share it with somebody. Give it a good rating on iTunes and a review. Greatly, greatly appreciated. So many people have already done that, and I'm super thankful for that. It helps us get up the list on iTunes as well as a source of credible and valuable information in your preparation for real life, as well as trying to help pass some of your pharmacology and board exams. So reallifepharmacology.com, you can reach out to me there. Also have that free giveaway, certainly, as well. It's a top 200 drug study guide where I highlight really highly testable pearls, 31-page PDF. So definitely take advantage of that and also get some updates on when we've got new podcasts available. So we'll leave it at that. Take care. Thanks for listening and have a great rest of your day.